What's up, everybody? My name is DJ. Time for Proverbs Every Day. So we're going to be doing Proverbs 30 today in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Let me pray for you really quick, and then we'll get started. Father God, thank you so much for my friend here that has chosen to take time out of their day to learn from your word and to embrace wisdom today. I ask a blessing on them as they open their hearts to you. Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be a pleasing sacrifice to you this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's time for Proverbs Every Day. Right. Let me correct that here. That is not the right one. There we go. There you go. You can scan that now. Sorry about that. So that's the Proverbs 30. We're reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible today. So let's get this going here. So all we need to do is press my magic button and share my screen with you. And here we go. So this is... We've finished up with the kind of the regular Proverbs. Now we're into a special chapter that, let's get into that. The words of Agur. So these are the words of Agur, the son of Jakka, the oracle. Oracle meaning, Jakka, son of Massa, from Massa. But this is an orator, you know, the person who speaks out. The man's oration to Ithiliel, to Anyokel. So the Hebrew here is a little uncertain, as the footnote. Sometimes read with different word division as oration. I am weary, God. I am weary, God. God, I am exhausted. Or oration. I am not God. I am not God that I should prevail. that is confusing. The other source reads, "My son, fear my words, and when you have received them, repent." The man says these things to believers in God, and I pause. So we get into some interesting parts of the saying here. A lot of which are a little bit ironic, but show the character of a man living in wisdom. Verse 2, I am more stupid than any other man, or I am more stupid than a man, and I lack man's ability to understand. I have not gained wisdom, and I have no knowledge of the Holy One, who has gone up to heaven and come down, who has gathered the wind in his hands, who has bound up the waters in a cloak, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is the name of his son, if you know?
I know. Pick me. I know.
His name's Jesus, by the way. That's the name of his son. Verse 5, every word of God is pure or refined. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Don't add to his words, or he will rebuke you, and you'll be proved a liar. There's a notion here, too, as I add to the words, of adding words for your own benefit, by the way. That's the caution here. Verse 7. Two things I ask of you. Don't deny them to me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth, and feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of my God. Or grabbing the name of my God. Interesting. Yeah. Just keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth, the food I need. And I love this explanation of why here. Otherwise, have too much and deny you. And it's, see that that's capitalized, you. In other words, that's to God saying, who is the Lord? Or have nothing and steal. What I want you to catch here is that it does the same thing. It also profanes the name of God. Verse 10, don't slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you and you will become guilty. Verse 11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, is not washed from its filth. There is a generation, how haughty its eyes and pretentious its looks, or and its eyelids lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, devouring the oppressed from the land and the needy from among mankind. And it's interesting that, that this kind of implies that there's just one, but I don't think that's the case. I think this is kind of that snarky, it's not just simply, you kids, hey, back in my day, hey. It's not that. It's concern over what's coming when a generation or a grouping of people don't think it's important to see these things. And, you know, I personally think we're seeing the fruits of that. I'm encouraged that there seems to be an upcoming generation that is seeing revival and seeing a call towards, oh, well, that doesn't really work, does it? Let's go find what does work. There's a large reason why I do this. And it's such an opportunity here to reach out to people and to be to show them the way, that there is a way, that it's not a mystery. It's right here. It's been here since before time was even a thought of. There was this wisdom. It's important. Because otherwise we get this. Devouring the oppressed and all the needy. It's just not a good picture, but that's what selfishness does. That's it doesn't serve. When we see all the things that are being exposed now about how supposed selflessness is actually selfishness and has impacts of just nastiness, just very much nastiness. And so anyway, let's try to avoid that. Verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give. Three things are never satisfied. Four, never say enough. Sheol, which is the netherworld there, a childless womb. Earth, which is never satisfied with water. And fire, which never says enough. As for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. Okay. Three things are beyond me, four I can't understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship at sea, in the way of a man with a young woman. They're all things that we really can't seem to control or influence. Probably related is verse 20. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. The earth trembles under three things. It cannot bear up under four. A servant when he becomes king, a fool when he is stuffed with food, an unloved woman when she marries, and a servant girl when she ousts her queen. Some weird cautions in there. It's just kind of noting. It's not just kind of that elite protecting themselves, that sort of thing. That's not what this is about. It's about the elite need to be better people to prevent these things, to prevent people that are. We see some of this when the people that assume things have been taken from them or whatever, and they get to the point of taking it back, I guess you could say. And they find immediately that there were responsibilities that they just had no idea. And they just stuffed themselves with food, so to speak. They just make it so that their lives are finally resolved and they're finally getting their own. And they started out with these notions of being for the people and for others. And they find that, oh, no, it's just about themselves. Yeah. And it turns out there's prior responsibilities and cares that they didn't know about. And it just is disastrous because of that. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. The ants are not a strong people, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are not a mighty people, yet they make their homes in the cliffs. Locusts have no king, yet all of them march in ranks. A lizard can be caught in your hands, yet it lives in king's palaces. Some translations might say a spider can be caught in your hands, yet it lives in king's palaces. In other words, it's able to be in those places, and you can't. Even though you can catch a lizard. Lizard can still be in a king's palace, but you can't. So you're not actually truly empowered there. The ants are not a strong people that store up food in the winter and summer. In other words, they do the work at the right time. Yeah. More things. Three things are stately in their stride, even four are stately in their walk. A lion, which is mightiest among beasts, does not retreat before anything. A strutting rooster, or a greyhound, some translations, interesting. A goat, and the king at the head of his army, or addressing his people. Not really sure what any of that means. I'll be completely blunt with you. I've never really figured out if there's more to that or if that's one of those just to kind of store away for later reference and kind of have ready to go for when it matters. I'm not really sure, especially with a goat being in there. A goat stately in its walk. I don't know. 32 and 33. If you have been foolish by exalting yourself, or if you've been scheming, put your hand over your mouth.
Shut up.
For the churning of milk produces butter. The twisting of a nose draws blood. Stirring up anger produces strife. Fair enough. I mean, some of these warnings are rough, but it is what it is, right? And so, yeah. Thanks for being with me here today. We'll end with that, with that gloriously joyful message. But in any case, I shall see you tomorrow. We'll be back for our final proverb of the month, closing out the Holman Christian Standard Bible and closing out season 8. Pretty amazing. So we'll see you there for Proverbs 31. Always a special day. Always special to go over a chapter that is filled with instruction and wonder. And so I will see you there tomorrow. I'll be there live with you, 8:30 a.m. Until then, be blessed by the best, and go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.